My name is Viv Greywood. I work for Stick Studios. I'm head of design, and this is Untalented, by Unknown and Canva.
Viv Greywood. Tell me what you do, but as if I was a 10-year-old.
Right. So think about any video game or any video or game that you play. Someone needs to design how it looks and where things go and all that sort of stuff. I essentially do that for a living, but not just video games. I do websites. I do out of home, which is big billboards. I do anything really visual, digital, and also print related. So that's what I do.
Okay, mate. Tell me what's something that's helped you move faster in your career.
Really interesting. There's loads of things that help you move faster. It depends on the context. For me, it was definitely it's topical AI. Helps me move faster. Helps me. I have always had an issue synthesizing my thoughts. And so just using AI for that to kind of help me and play it back and make sure it sounds like me as well. Like it will give you a good run through, but then also because it knows me and I've been using it for so long. I'm not going to name which one I'm using, but it kind of knows me very, very well. So it helps me move a bit faster because then I'm able to kind of focus on the things that matter. I have a team, so I have to kind of give my job is not just what I put out and what I do. It's also taking care of my team, and I take that really seriously. So the stuff that I can just get done, i.e. using AI, that's what I do.
I love that. What's something that's helped you move faster when AI didn't exist? When you first got into the industry?
People. Really sitting with people that I see and I think are really creative or I aspire to be like and asking them to help me. But in that way, when AI did exist and we were very much in Photoshop as a designer, I would ask for people's PhDs so I can see how they put stuff together. Because like I think it's easier to kind of remake what someone's done from seeing the raw assets that they have. Usually you don't get that privilege. You just see the finished project and you're able to actually get
it. So you like work backwards.
Backwards from what it is and like deconstructing. Okay, cool. I understand this now. Now I can use it in my world. I always had that reference. I've still got that PhD that I got from my friend now that's on my desktop.
No,
I take it everywhere with me. It's on my desktop at my new job. It's always on my hard drive. It's something that I always use. And no matter what.
I also love that you've got the two answers to that question is AI, tool, software, and human, people.
Yeah.
Cool. There's a bit of both in there. And I see what you've done there.
Balanced.
All right. So I want to talk about money. What can a top earner, head of design, earn in this industry?
It obviously differs.
Yeah.
Felt different companies. It's definitely not what I'm on. But I think upwards of 150K, 200.
Yeah.
Probably even more than that. It depends. If you're global head of design, so you span obviously countries and time, it's above that. And the other thing that happens that when you get to that level is you're actually given like options, like stock
rules
and all that sort of stuff. So that you can end up earning quite a lot more. I'm definitely not on that. I just want people the record to show.
One day. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, we're diving into a bit more about design now a bit.
Cool.
I want to know what inspired you to pursue a career in design.
I've always loved design. I've always loved drawing. I'm probably going to date myself now, but I was always one of those people that could see like Garfield and be able to draw Garfield. Like,
what, just from seeing a picture?
Seeing a picture or Banana Man. That's, again, dating myself massively. But yeah, that kind of thing. So I've always loved to draw. Funnily enough, I always thought I'd be in design when I was younger, and I always thought I'd do automotive design. I really love cars. I really love drawing cars. I thought I would always be able to do that. And then when I actually did an art and design foundation where you do all of the different disciplines, that was when it changed for me. And I think I went to an exhibition at the Barbican, and everyone else went to the V&A and I stayed, and I was like, this is me.
Really?
Like, who else is about? No one, just me. This is what I want to do. And it was just, that was when the pen dropped and I was just so focused on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then so you were drawing cars all the time
as
a kid. What was then, you walk into something like this at the Barbican and you're like, do you realize, oh, holy shit, there's a whole There's a whole world here of what else.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was always like, I always loved it, but I didn't ever think that it was a thing in terms of like a career. I never really, the penny didn't drop. I wasn't that smart, I would probably say. Like, I never really thought that there was a job in it. And then that was when the penny dropped for me, when I was starting to see album covers and I started to see posters.
Yeah.
And obviously the Barbican is so rich anyway in all of the stuff that they have. I was just like, yeah, it really did like go, okay, this is a thing. And I just, yeah, started to collect stuff. I'm sure we spoke about this there, but I became a bit of a hoarder. I still am today. Like, I always, on my desktop, keep a thing of keeps. And I always just, like, anything I find, I just, like, that goes in that folder. And I always spend some time with it every week. So on a Friday morning, usually, I'll just open that folder, just tap through all my likes. Because you have to surround yourself.
Really? The things that you love. That's a cool exercise.
I always say it to all the people in my team. I was like, within your diary, if it's before lunch or whatever, like, put half an hour in your diary so that you actually spend some time with things that you're about. Because, and or do your visual research, like, look at all those blogs. Well, blogs it was, but now look at all our Pinterest and all that stuff. Spend time with things. Yeah. That's the only way you know what's got out there. Spend time with the publications that we all look at. Like, you kind of have to.
I guess that's even more important for people within, well, agency and in-house creatives, where they're so deep into an account and a brand or whatever it might be. That's all they know. It's hard to take the nose away from the canvas and be like, there's this whole world of inspiration around.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Someone said it to me, you're only as good as your references.
Really?
Yeah, and it's true. Like, how do you get your references? Yeah. Search. You immerse yourself in the things you like. When you're out and about, even in my phone, it's like photos and stuff I see out.
Yeah.
Because
it explains why he's so well dressed. Oh, I don't know if that's how much that.
I don't know.
All right, Viv, tell me. I want to know about a project that felt transformative for your career. Like, was there a moment or a project that you delivered where you were like, holy shit, now it's big time?
Yeah, 100%. It was when I was at AKQA, I was working on Nike and I was there for 5.5 years. But it was just towards the end of that, we ended up doing a project called Rise, and it was in China. It was the first LED mask for Quimbada. Yeah, and it was when it was briefed in, because there was one beforehand, but it wasn't done properly. It wasn't, I say properly, don't shoot me, but it wasn't done like in real time and all of the things that you would imagine that technology should allow you to do. So we were doing it for real first time, well, second time, but for real. And it was one of those projects that I was just like, wow. It was called Rise. It was basically Nike's thing. What they do is they take their top athletes every year on a tour,
yeah,
and they go and stoke the fires elsewhere. So this year it was Kobe Bryant, RIP, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, and Paul George, actually. And they all went to China. So it was in China. I was working on it, and we had to create this LED basketball court, which is basically a TV that you could kind of change with an iPad, what was on it and stuff like that. And you had, it was kind of like the X Factor for basketball, but for these kids, there was, I think there was 12 kids at the beginning, and then they got whittled down to who was the top,
yeah,
or trying it. It was like every time they'd come in, there'd be a different athlete and they would do drills and all that sort of stuff. And whilst I was doing it, Prince was just like, this is the best thing you're going to do. Don't mess up. And it was like that. But it was the best thing I ever done. And especially working in China, in real time on it, was like really good experience, because you never get to do that, really. You're usually like, do it and it goes live. But when you're actually working on it as it's going live and then iterating and having stand-ups after the exhibition things and go, okay, what can we do better next time? And it was just all of the things that encompasses when you're actually on the ground.
Wow.
We only get to do that usually when it's a shoot, really, but because this was a show, yeah, one of the best things I've done.
Yeah, wow. Another question.
Yeah.
How would you approach integrating technology and AI into your design work?
Okay.
Like, day to day, is it a day to day thing?
Yeah, I think it has to be, and I think it is for me. From a from a communication point of view, because that's what we do, 100% I use it to edit me down. I could talk, so that's why. But from a design point of view, it's definitely stands to reason in a creation. But I think you're already as good as the prompts you put in. I'm not a expert at all. I'm very much a novice, but it's something that I'm really super interested in and actually getting better and skilling up on, because I think it would just help and benefit what we can put in front from a studio client perspective, yeah. Put in front of them, even like from a point of understanding types of camera, types of finish, types of style you want to do it at. We were just doing something and it was like the style was like manga style, and it was like really interesting what it was bringing out. You literally realized, okay, cool. So it really, you need to play on all the things that you know to be able to get what you need to get.
Yeah.
But there is a way of structuring it so that it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I love also what they do in most of the places where you can actually copy that prompt and make it better. And so you can go, okay, cool. I've done that. It's not quite right. How do I do this? If I put frontal view in, does that change? So yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely being it's being like an industry expert in the thing that you're going to prompt for it to come out the way you want it.
I'm not saying industry expert, just knowing what you're about,
yeah,
and what you're looking for,
yeah,
I think is really important. I think that's with AI, because it's not just going to prompt and produce something out of nothing. You kind of have to feed it to give it.
Yeah, thread, sure. So it's not just a build me a
yeah
photo shoot for a new running brand.
No.
It's not as easy.
It's not as easy as
I wouldn't be very good at it.
Well,
I've got one more deep question.
Oh, deep.
Well, okay. Deep-ish. Okay. Not spiritually deep. But I want you to tell me the challenges and rewards of leading design across diverse markets. So I think what that means is, you know, being in a studio setup, there's such a variety of industries you've got to work in and different nuances within that, even, you know, working in Chinese markets and so on. It's like, what are the challenges and rewards of leading design within those?
Ooh, that is a big question. I think for me, I've always liked to affiliate with the brands that I work with and all that sort of stuff. And I think as you grow up and grow through the industry, that becomes less and less important. And it's definitely done for me. What I am interested in is the opportunity that gives you. So working on the variety of brands is what keeps me alive, really, and keeps me doing what I'm doing. So being able to span different countries and different timelines and different time zones and all of those stuff is super interesting to me, because then it's like really interesting for how you can create something for that specific place. And it's not just one size fits all globally. It's like actually being super relevant to where you're at. And I think that's kind of what I'm more interested in. It's like resonating with where you're at. Yes, it's all nice having a big TVC that kind of is a global TVC, but actually the hardest job is like understanding your market and how do you bring work to that market. So that's really challenging, because you kind of need to know a lot of things and also lean on a lot of people to kind of give you that cultural relevance. But it's also really exciting when it kind of comes out. You're just there like, yeah, that's super right. You get that feedback. It's like, yeah, that's right for that. And I think that's all I'm definitely about. It's like making sure that it resonates with the right people. One of the things that stinks where I work for Mantra is like, actually, we make things that people want to spend time with. And I'm really resonated with that. Yeah. It's not just chucking stuff out so that it feels like landfill into this world that's so full of all of that. It's actually making stuff that is really curated and really relevant for where you're going. I think that's the be all and end all, really.
I think you answer that.
Okay, cool.
Considering how broad and mad that question was. All right, Viv.
Yes, mate.
What is your slogan? The slogan of your life?
Ooh.
We're getting deep.
I said it to Poffy the other day, actually. We were working late on something, and I was just like, this is taking ages, but I want to do it once, and I want to do it right.
Oh.
In that
sense. Oh, I thought it was just, this is taking ages.
I should have just left it there.
Yeah.
No, but it was, we were doing something, we were doing a project, and
do it once and do it right.
Do it once and do it right. And I think you need to take the time to make sure that you're doing all your checks. It's not just slacking stuff together. You kind of have to craft it. It's definitely something that I always care about. And the other one for free is like never save a file name or call something. I've said this last time. Final Final. 100% don't. Don't do that. Because there will always be...
Nah, he's a meat.
Iterations. Oh, yeah. Never do that, mate. Because it will end you when you have to put final V2 or final...
Yeah, true.
It will end you.
That was really... Okay, and then final question. Maybe the final after that. Tell me the weirdest thing you've ever used ChatGPT for. The most unhinged thing.
It was funny because I had a look at my actually ChatGPT, and it was like 9 months ago, and it was what trainers go with wide leg trousers. And before you start laughing, it was for my wife, not for me. I love trainers, and I buy a lot of trainers, but I also buy trainers for my wife. So it was kind of like she wanted a look that was like with wide trousers, but was also breathable and was good in the rain. And I was just like, I have no clue. I know what I would go for, but she's got a definitely different style to me. So that's what it was.
I love it. Your co-pilot is like a VM.
Yeah, yeah. They were kicking out some gold. And to be fair, one of them, we did get Solomon.
You did?
Solomon's, which I kind of knew, but I wanted just backup.
So who knows the ChatGPT?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, look, it says it in black and white.
Love it.